to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. So what do you know about the world of cryptocurrency? For me, it's not much, but I also know that if someone asked me what is a natural partnership for craft beer, there would probably be 100 or so things I would mention before cryptocurrency came out of my mouth. But with cryptocurrency hitting the mainstream in recent months, I know this because my taxi driver was giving me a lesson in it recently. Maybe a craft beer cryptocurrency collaboration isn't as strange as it seems. Enter Catchment Brewing and their cryptocurrency brewing partner, Moon Pirate, and their recipe for the first ever cryptocurrency beer. To fill in the many gaps in my knowledge that exists in the crypto world, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Catchment Brewing CEO, Matt Newberry.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for jumping on, mate. It's great to have you here. I feel like I'm going to learn a lot tonight.
You probably learn less about cryptocurrency than beer, unfortunately.
That's okay. You do realize you might have to take it a little bit slowly with me tonight with the whole crypto thing. I still don't fully understand it and mining coins and all that sort of stuff, but we can get into that a little bit later. Let's first go back to the backstory of Catchment, because you've been around since about 2015. So how did it all begin for you?
Yeah, so 2015, some local West End families decided to get together and start a brewery in West End. We really wanted to encapsulate what the West End of Brisbane's all about, which is a really eclectic mix of cultures and people, very welcoming, very different from the mainstream. It's sort of similar to your urban areas like Newtown in Sydney or, it's got a lot of mix of culture, different, 500 different restaurants of every different cuisine. It's a very interesting part of Brisbane streetscape. So Catchment came about from some friends getting together, as usual with these things, wanting to have a brewery. Found a site in West End. There was an old fishmonger's and another shop on the other side, so two individual stores. It was turned into a microbrewery. We then embarked on a pretty big renovation program, put some tanks out the back, launched what we thought was a pretty good beer brand, and have been working on building a business and building a brand for the last 5 or 6 years.
It's funny, I said to you in the opener before we jumped on, one of probably quite a few Queensland-based brews that I don't know a lot about, purely because we are a long way away from each other and the fact that, not a lot of beer always enters into Tassie anyway. But was the idea initially just purely to look after that, eclectic local market?
Yeah, it was essentially to encapsulate what the local market's all about and try and project that out into the broader beer industry. So our plans are to go further abroad than Queensland. We're only in Queensland at the moment, mostly around southeast Queensland in Brisbane, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast. So our plan longer term involves more venues, more opportunities to get our brand amongst different markets. But originally it was just to build a local West End brand. So the first breweries in Brisbane in the 1800s were in West End. The West End Brewery was the people's brewery in Brisbane in the early days of settlement in Brisbane. So we tried to encapsulate some of the history of the original brewery into what we've been able to put together, some old recipes from their most popular beers transformed into ours.
Nice.
And then our core range of beers are based around the catchment of West End, which is what our name was all about. So the local streetscape, the local stories that make West End what it is. So all of our beers have different names relating to local streets that make up the catchment. So we tried to give homage to the history of West End from the days when they first started selling real estate in West End. The street was called Why Not Street. People would ask, why would I ever want to come and live in West End, which was a swampy riverside suburb? And the estate agent just always said, why not? Why not? And the street became known as Why Not. was the first street settled in West End. So our beer, our first collaboration beer that we brewed was this wet Why Not Lager. So, and from that, we've taken other names of the local catchment streets. So our IPA is named Vulture IPA. It's named after Vulture Street, which is one of the most well-known streets in Brisbane.
Is that the whole Powderfinger link too?
Yeah, Vulture Street's same Brisbane band. So they obviously had an album called Vulture Street.
Yeah.
So Vulture Street runs pretty much right, finishes in our catchment, leads everyone from East Brisbane across into the West End. Our mid-strength beer is called Hoogly. Again, Hoogly was a convict ship that docked in West End when it first came over from, came via India over to Australia. Docked at West End. Now the street that runs from that dock up to our brewery is called Hoogly Street. So, again, another historical sort of name that relates to the formation of the West End and the catchment that is the West End catchment.
I love it. That's great. That's unreal. And what I love, I was checking out the website this week, is the map that you've created that sort of goes on your can designs and all the different elements that come together. Almost like a patchwork quilt in a way.
It is. It's a patchwork quilt of the West End streetscape. So it covers all the bends in the river that run around us, and we like to think our beers are just doing that, you know, mainstream with a touch of curves and, you know, things along the way that make things a little bit different. Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, because you look at your beers on paper and there's nothing that's necessarily, you know, over the top, weird, wonderful about them. They're just a good, solid range of beers. I liken it maybe to, say, how maybe a Little Creatures was back in the day. You know, you've got some beers that aren't too over the top. They're probably at the end where you might bring more people into this. But I think that's probably also smart in your way, because you're going to be in a bit of a touristy sort of area as well, aren't you?
That's right. So we've got four core range beers that we do all the time, which are the three I spoke about there, plus the Pale Select, which is pale ale. That's the original recipe from the pale ale from the West End Brewery in the 1800s. Oh, nice. So we've not named that after a street, but after the West End original beer. And then we do a bunch of seasonal beers. I've only got eight taps in the brewery, so we do four of our core range beers and four seasonals that change every 2 to 3 months, depending on how quickly they sell through. That's where the brewer gets a bit of time for experimentation and doing some weird and wonderful things. Gets, you know, interest in retail for seasonal type things. So,
yep.
And we also do a lot of collaboration stuff, which is good for a little brewery like us, because you know selling pallets at a time instead of a carton of beer at a time, so helps our cash flow and helps us, you know, get to a lot of different places that we wouldn't normally get to, whether it be to restaurants, other bars, you know, everything from working with guys in Dubai on a Egyptian red ale project for their brewery concept, to some of the, you know, the subscription model type things, hops to home and my beer dealer and those type of things. So always keen to collaborate with different people.
Take me back to the Egyptian red ale. How did that come about?
Yeah, so we've been working with a team in Dubai who have a concept for a brewery called ANCIV, A-N-C-I-V, which is a shortened version of ancient civilization.
Oh, yeah.
So they've come up with a brewery concept of finding beer recipes, sort of as we've done from the original West End brewery, but for all the ancient civilizations that were the original beer drinkers, so dating back to the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Mesopotamians, the ancient Persians, all these ancient civilizations. So they've tried to discover beer recipes from way, way back when. And because they're based in Dubai as a bunch of Aussie expats, they don't have access to any breweries or anything over there. So
of course,
we're working in collaboration by testing some recipes. We are... Generally, our model is do a smaller tank, let's say 600-litre tank that gives us 10 or 12 kegs, put it on tap at the brewery, see how it goes with the customers.
Yep.
And that's what we did with ANCIV. We did an ancient Egyptian red ale called Proper Geezer. It's a pretty cool little drink.
Nice.
Full of, you know, ancient recipe things like dates and honey and figs. And,
oh, cool.
Beautiful, nice, strong red ale, but... That's been really popular. So they've put that into cans last week. We did a 80 carton run of cans for them that they're now trying to take into Dubai and also sell over around proper places in Australia, targeting Egyptian restaurants and some of those type of things.
That's nice. You haven't brewed a chicha by any chance, have you?
No, we haven't, no.
No, I just remember back in the days when Sam Calagione was on Discovery Channel doing his Brewmasters, I think it was called, he made a chicha and all of his staff had to chew corn to basically break down the outer shell and get access to the sugars inside the corn. So they were chewing corn at their desk and spitting into a bucket, then that all went into a beer called a chicha.
Yeah, not sure how well that'd go these days with COVID around.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry to interrupt. Just a couple of things you can do if you want to help spread this craft beer gospel. First up, Apple Podcasts. If you've got it on your phone, find the Beer Healer interviews, scroll all the way down to the bottom, rate, review, subscribe. That's the best thing you can do to help me out. Other than that, whatever podcast player you listen to this on, follow me or subscribe to me on that one. And then also find me on Instagram and follow me there. Thanks for your help. You mentioned a little bit earlier about being a small brewery. What sort of size kit have you guys got? And what about your tanks and stuff?
We've got six tanks, two 1,200 litres, 2,000 litres and two 600 litres. So we're at about 6,000 litre capacity. Yep. This is majority of that went to our tap rooms initially. We've got a working restaurant bar functions facility there. So most of what we do was sold in into the tap room.
Yep. And what size is the actual brew kit?
About 600 litres as well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you really are quite small. I'm just trying to put that into comparative terms with some breweries I know, and now I completely understand why I've never seen your beer in Tasmania, because you'd be struggling to keep it up to the taps at the brew pub.
Yeah, so we've got a 600-litre hot water tank. The kettle's about 1,200. So we double batch into the kettle and then that fills one of our bigger tanks, We're looking to get some more capacity at the moment, so add a few more tanks in because the brewery is at capacity now, which is great. Yeah,
okay. So what's the local market like up there? I think the closest brewery to you might be Easy Times. Is that right?
The nearest one to us is Brisbane Brewing Co., which is about 100 metres down the road.
Oh, I didn't show up on my Google Maps search today.
Yeah, so they're literally 100 metres further down the road.
Okay.
So we do a fair bit of work with those guys as far as brews tools and getting people to both breweries and things like that.
Yep.
Oh, nice. There's also a couple of other small ones around us, but there's not a lot in West Bank. Most of them are sort of scattered around Newstead and that area in Brisbane. So,
okay. What's the vibe around there? Has it changed much over the last 5 or 6 years? Has it got a little bit more competitive, perhaps?
Oh, very much so. From a craft brewing point of view, there's been lots pop up. Lots of the bigger breweries expanding into multiple tap rooms.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of, and there's been some consolidation as well with, big brands like Green Beacon being swallowed up by CUB and the like. So, some consolidation, some new businesses coming along, and just more beer hitting the market, trying to find a place. It's a lot of people in a 10% market share sort of.
Oh, absolutely, place. I'm hearing you. Is that a reason why you it's getting a little bit crowded? That why you sort of looked a little further south with the Urban House project?
Yeah, well, that came about. It was an expression of interest put out for a brewery from each state. So
we put
expression of interest in for it, which after, a couple of months of back and forth, we were selected as a Queensland brewery on that project. So
nice.
That's exciting for us because it's a project in Newtown in an old theatre that they're turning into sort of a beer hub. So they're putting a brewery from each state into an old theatre. About 600 seats downstairs, about another 300 upstairs. It's going to become a really good live entertainment venue with sort of Belgian Oktoberfest-style beer hall.
Yep.
And then each state gets to be represented by a brewery, and we were lucky enough to get the Queensland one. So we're pretty excited about getting the catchment brand out down into Sydney.
That's awesome.
It's probably about 18 months away though, so.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought it was a bit sooner than that. Rightio.
Yeah, no, it's probably 12 to 18 months away. So
you probably need to up the ante at the brewery a little bit to get some more volume pumping out to be able to service that one as well, won't you?
Yeah, we'll be ready. Don't worry.
Nice. And that's literally just a a supply type arrangement to a venue? You don't have a brewery or anything set up down there to brew?
No, it's a supply. It's a wholesale market. So they essentially buy beers from us. We get to theme the bar as catchment and representing Brisbane however we want to. So have our brand all over it. Yeah. And then we essentially get 12 taps in the bar.
Yep.
And so we can provide all of our catchment beers or other Brisbane brands if you want to collaborate.
But, oh, okay.
And then sell wholesale into that business at our standard wholesale rate. So,
yep.
Yeah, and we actually pay a license fee to get involved in it in the start. Yeah, so,
nice. Yeah. So it'll be literally like going to a mini beer festival. We have one bar per state representative. Is that how it works?
That's exactly, yeah. Five bars downstairs and a distillery upstairs. So.
Bloody hell, that's a great
idea. Yeah, good concept, yeah.
Are they thinking of repeating that concept? I mean, it's probably early days because they haven't even built this one first, but is the idea to expand it into other states and do the same?
That's definitely his plan. The lead guy behind it is Michael Vale, who's a pretty well-known serial hospitality entrepreneur. So he's leading this one and with the aim to making it successful and replicating it amongst other states. So
that sounds pretty cool.
Hmm.
And so it's in Newtown, you say?
Newtown, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Oh, that's okay. In 18 months' time, righty-o. Sounds like you've got a little bit going on in your life right now in terms of the brewing. So why not add to that by coming up with some kind of a world first? Have you got any ideas about what you might do?
Oh, maybe cryptocurrency. What do you think?
This sounds like a good idea, except I'm really struggling with cryptocurrency. It bamboozles me. Can you give me an idiot's guide to cryptocurrency?
Oh, look, there's... It's a very crowded space. It's like the craft beer market, only their market caps are a lot higher than what ours are.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know a lot about cryptocurrency personally. I've invested a little bit into crypto in the past.
In a
few things, led mainly by my teenage kids. But mid-20s now, but they seem to have done pretty well out of it. So I thought I'd get involved as well.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency is a different form of currency. It sort of takes away from cash and the normal banking regime that we all come to know and love, and allows other ways to, you know, improve value in, it's essentially shares in coins that represent something as same as shares in a company. So Bitcoin's obviously the most well-known one and the biggest market cap, and very, very fluctuating sort of.
Yeah, it's pretty volatile.
It's very volatile, the market. It moves, a tweet from Elon Musk can move the market 20-30% down or up in one section. So,
yeah,
very volatile. A lot of coins come and go. A lot of them are there for the long term and have made significant, made people millions and millions of dollars. But we've teamed up with a small startup company called Moon Pirate, who approached us to do something in the crypto space. Their tokens are based on a collaboration of drinking options. So they started with a rum, which is being distilled in California, and that's not ready yet. That's being distilled as we speak, and we came on board as a beer sort of arm to their business.
So is it a bit like you've got a sort of almost like a crowdfunding model but using cryptocurrency in the mix? Is that sort of how it works?
Yeah, it's not so much. So the crypto holders are really in there to get the company's valuation higher so they can buy and sell their currency the same as a normal business would.
Yep.
So they come up with different models. Some of them have got technology platforms. Some have got internet platforms. This one's got like a alcohol-based platform. It's the only one of its kind. Most of the others are tech stocks, whereas this is a little bit more mainstream as far as what it supports. And the holders essentially buy into a pool of currency that's created, and it's then becomes a supply and demand thing. So that's what drives the price up and down so much every day.
So my son has been at me to get into this cryptocurrency for probably the last 2 years, and I'm sure it's going to bite me in the ass one day because I keep saying no. Maybe now it's into something that I kind of understand with the liquor thing, but I've said no and no and no, and he keeps saying, "Dad, I've got to do it." And then this week, one of my workmates, he was saying back in about 1999, he got a $5,000 gift from his uncle. Might have been in a will or something like that. And he went to his dad at the time and said, "Dad, I want to invest in this thing called Apple. I really believe in it." And his dad said, "No, no, no, don't be stupid. Put your money in a term deposit." And so he did. And that $5,000 worth of Apple shares that he would have bought back in 99 would be worth about $2 million today. And my son now knows of this story. So he's like saying, "Dad, see, I told you, you've got to believe in us young people. This is the way of the future. I could have that $2 million in 20 years' time as well." So maybe Moonpirate's our thing.
Yeah. When BitPirate came out, Bitcoin came out, you could go and buy a cup of coffee with a couple of Bitcoins. It was an alternate currency. So the people that went and paid 2 Bitcoins for a cup of coffee at the cafe that, took Bitcoin, Bitcoin's $50,000 a coin today.
Yeah.
So on the market. So that was an expensive cup of coffee in hindsight.
Absolutely. What's a Moonpirate coin worth?
You can buy about 1 billion Moonpirate tokens for about $25.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's early days.
Yeah, it's very early days. Yeah.
And so how's this all going to work in terms of, because obviously you've got the first beer out now, which is a tropical IPA. Was that beer decided upon by the investors, or is it just for future beers and you guys just starting off with this first one?
When we launched the first beer, the platform that they've got for their investors to choose everything, which is what their platform is, wasn't quite finished. Yep. They've only been around 8 weeks, so it's very early days.
Oh, is it that new?
Yeah, it's that new.
We are cutting edge here on the Beer Healer interviews. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah. So it's a new coin, new concept. So what we've done, we've just put a tank into kegs. So we've got the launch for that particular Moonpirate IPA on the 26th of June. So that's where Moonpirate are putting on a welcome party for all their crypto holders that live anywhere near Brisbane.
Yep.
Remember, there's about 90,000 people now that own a Moonpirate coin. So it's a really good marketing platform for us. Because they're very good communicators. They do a weekly video update. They do weekly newsletters. They're very active on social media. I've probably got, 5,000 more likes on Twitter and Facebook just from this one collaboration with these guys from their 90,000 sort of crypto holders wanting to actually, push our product, push our brand, and they're very supportive of us. So for us, it's a marketing tool, really.
Yeah.
We're making the beer. We're paying for the beer. Moonpirate coin holders get to choose the next variety. So the next one we do is cans. But we're getting, I'm getting dozens and dozens of emails from all around the world from these 90,000 Moonpirate holders saying, "How can I get this in Panama? How can I get this in the US? When's it going to be in London?"
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of interest in the beer. They're doing a rum as well that's shipped worldwide, and they're doing an energy drink that's just based in America. So they're sort of sharing everything around a bit between all the different countries that they've got holders of.
How did you come across them?
They came to us. So it was out of the blue. The founder of Moonpirate lives in Ipswich, which is very close to Brisbane. It's a satellite city of Brisbane. So he contacted a few local Brisbane things, and I just thought at the time, well, what have we got to lose? Let's start with a tropical IPA, brand it up, see how it goes, and it's really taken off and the interest in it's really exciting.
So tell us more about this beer. What do you got hops-wise in this thing?
It's a tropical IPA. My brewers put it all together. I haven't had much to do with the hop profile and anything, it's so difficult for me to answer that one. We're at 6.5% alcohol. I've tasted it yesterday out of the tanks. It's tasting wonderful.
Hazy,
It's slightly hazy, yeah. We didn't brew it as a hazy IPA, but it's turned out a little bit hazy.
Yeah, okay.
It's got lots of tropical fruit flavour in it, so it's really, really good. We've got about 100 of the Moonpirate holders coming to the launch party on the 26th so far. So
that's awesome.
It's a good night for us in the brewery to have a bit of fun. We'll do a pirate party and do a few bits and pieces. So,
and from what I've seen, the venue is pretty schmick.
Yeah, it's eclectic is probably the right word. It's very West End. It's very very nice venue. We've invested a lot of money in it. It's not a huge venue, so groups of 100, 200 is probably taps us out. So
yep,
Pretty excited to get a group that's excited about beer that don't normally know about our brewery in there for the night as well. So,
yeah, beautiful. And so you've got the Tropical IPA now. The next beer, what do you do? Are you pitching three or four or five ideas to the group and then saying pick one, or is it just like open slather?
Yeah.
I can imagine you could get in a little bit of trouble if that was open slather. I want a hazelnut brown ale that's, you know, aged in bourbon barrels or whatever.
Yeah, so we'll narrow down probably a selection of styles to start with, which is what we did for the first one. And then the Moon Pirate leadership team chose the IPA, but the next one's a lot more collaborative to their holders, so it might be a bit more complex than the first one was as far as getting the flavours together and everything. But the whole beauty of Moon Pirate platform is that it's a voting system where everyone gets a voice. So it's a community-driven polling thing. So everyone gets to say what they want. And depending on the weight of your holdings, you get a bit more say, but like any sort of business.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So so how do people get involved in the whole Moon Pirate thing then?
As far as the buying the cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
Well, it's available on the Moon Pirate website.
Yep.
moonpirate.finance.
We'll leave a link to that in the show
notes. Yeah. So what you've actually got to go in and buy what's called a BNB coin, which is a standard sort of coin, and then you swap it with Moon Pirate. So and then you end up with the Moon Pirate coins out of that. And then when you revert back out of Moon Pirate, same thing. You swap it back to a BNB coin and trade it out for cash or US dollars or whatever you want to do.
All right. So it sounds pretty easy.
Yeah, it's a little bit complex at the moment because they're a startup coin, but it's there's loads of YouTube videos on how to do it and how to buy it, and I managed to do it okay. So
Yeah, okay.
And I'm a bit of a nufty.
I think I'm with you there, mate. So by the time this podcast comes out, the beer will be coming out on the weekend, just upcoming. So tell us about the party, times it starts, and where are you?
Yeah, so the brewery's in West End, 150 Boundary Street, right in the heart of West End. The party starts on the 26th, which is a Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it'll go for as long as we need to. The Moon Pirate
early start.
The Moon Pirate founders put on a pretty big bar tab and a pretty big array of food for everyone that comes along. So it should be a good afternoon, a good night. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice. So
it's
pirate-themed. Oh, beautiful. Do you have to be a Moon Pirate investor to get in the door, and will they have time to do that between now and Saturday?
You don't have to be a Moon Pirate investor to get in the door, but you won't get any free Moon Pirate beer unless you're an investor, but you can purchase Moon Pirate beer. And, you can do the investment side of it in 20 minutes. So anyone that wants to do that, it's an easy process,
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So plenty of stuff going on at Catchment. What else have we got on the horizon for the next 6 or so months?
Plenty of stuff. We're looking to grow our business. So our plan is to have 10 other sites over the next 5 years.
Seriously?
So, we've got not breweries as such, but tap rooms and areas where we can sell our venues. So we're looking at a few acquisitions at the moment. We're very close on two of them at contract stage. So that's exciting for us. We're growing and expanding the business. That's our main focus, is growth and expansion. So looking at other brewery sites, at other venues, building a portfolio of venues that, you know, promote our brand as Catchment, make our wholesale business easier than what it is getting through the, you know, traditional Coles and Woolies network of pubs and, you know, creating some of our own scale, so to speak, so that we've got maximisation of our brewery capacity.
Yeah. Well, you need to potentially look at maybe some contract arrangements to help you, you know, service all these venues that you're talking about?
Yeah. One of the acquisitions is another brewery, so we're looking at increasing our capacity via that.
Nice.
But we also have the capacity to contract brew. We've been doing some contract brewing over the last few years with other Brisbane brewers that have capacity when we need to. So we try and do everything in-house, but we did a couple of big batches just before. We got a fair bit of new ranging into Coles and Woolworths stores recently, so we did a couple of contract batches to get some volume up in storage so that we can cope with that. So there's millions of litres of capacity in Brisbane brewing market at the moment. So
yeah,
no, fair enough. We don't need to go and spend millions of dollars on new infrastructure just yet.
So how long before beers make it to Tasmania?
Good question. Good question. We'd love to get it down there. Just a matter of trying to get someone to arrange it. So any of your listeners that love the podcast and have a nice craft beer shop down there, we're happy to get stock down to you anytime.
I know a few people that might be interested. That'd be good.
Yeah. It'd be good to have some Queensland representation down there.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. No, I love
it. We had our honeymoon in Tasmania, so we love it.
Did you really? Where did you honeymoon?
Yeah. Oh, we went everywhere. We did the mistake of trying to go too far. We had 3.5 weeks.
The old mainland mistake, eh?
Yeah, it did 3.5 weeks of all around the place. It was wonderful.
Oh, magnificent.
But we just had our 25th wedding anniversary and went back and did it again sort of 25 years later, so it was wonderful. Beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's a nice place. It's a quiet sort of place, but it goes pretty well. Seems to be able to drag people down here every now and then, especially since COVID. I think people see it as a bit of a safe haven these days, so maybe we might get a few more people living down here at some stage.
Funnily enough, there's a lot of advertising at the moment for Tasmania on television in Brisbane.
Is there really? Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, a lot of advertising, yeah.
Yeah, we're just about to head into our Dark Mofo Festival, which – you know, I was walking around the city today and I could see that there was a lot of people, you know, that looked touristy to bring the people down here for the winter solstice. So, hopefully they'll stick around and all that sort of thing. So,
yeah, it's good.
Yeah, she's all right. Well, mate, thanks very much for joining me today. I'm really glad we got to have this chat about crypto and all the plans you got in Cashman, because as I said to you, I didn't know much about you, but you've got a great little story. I just absolutely love the way you've sort of taken the local stories and the street names and the map and all that sort of stuff and work it into your brand, because I think sometimes there are brands out there on the market that don't have those stories, and my opinion is that those kind of stories help really, you know, build a brand. And I think, you know, you've started off small and you are growing, and those stories are going to really help you take that far and wide.
Yeah, we sort of spent a fair bit of time on that because we believe we can go and plonk a catchment brand in any suburb in Brisbane and actually make it all about the suburb. And like our motto is buy locals for locals everywhere. So it's all about your local brewery and your local opportunity. So whereas our beers are named after Vulture Street and Why Not Street and Oogly Street, it doesn't mean that if we've got a venue in Addington or Maruka or any other suburb that we can't create the same story with catchment as the overarching brand about the local neighborhood, which is what it's all about.
You've got that trademark sits over the top of these uber local brew pubs. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I love it. Great model.
Thank you.
Well, mate, thanks very much for joining me tonight. Best of luck with the pirate party on Saturday night and the whole moon pirate thing. I'll jump on and have a bit of a look at it. As I said, we'll leave some links in the show notes for people to be able to jump on and invest or check out your website. But until we talk again, mate, cheers to great beers.
Good on you. Thanks, Chris. Good to chat to you.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.